I stepped in for a few moments across the street to Sidney Strauss's bar mitzvah. So I just got there about 5 minutes ago. So I said, I have one question to stump him with. You know, you can never catch him with anything about the Ruach and about the Nogim and about the Piyutim and about the calendar. You can't catch Sidney. He's a wizard. But I don't think I have a question for him, which I don't think he can answer so easily. Does that begin on the first day of Rosh Chodesh or the second? I've been trying to find the answer to this question for 40 years. When does the Ma'arim B'Simcha begin? When? First day of Rosh Chodesh or the second day of Rosh Chodesh? The first day. Oh, that's right. Makdim and below Ma'achim. Ma'arim. Well, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Adar. And the unusual thing about this Shabbos is that it's Parsha Shkolim, which usually falls on Mishpatim, Shabbos Mevorchem HaChodesh. But this year, since Shabbos itself is Rosh Chodesh, so you read Parsha Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh. So it's 1 week later. Usually it's Mishpatim. This year it's Parsha Teruma. And of course we have three Shkolim, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And they're all three related, because the reason for Be'echad Ba'adom Mashmin al-Ashkolim is because since on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the Beis HaMikdash there were Makiv Korbonos from the new contributions, the new Machtes HaShekels, and so they made the announcement and the appeal one month earlier, and during the month of Ador people were bringing in the Machtes HaShekels, the Echad Ba'ador, which is 1 month before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, that's V'yikholi Truma, Zeh Yitnu, in Parshas Kisisa, dealing with the contributions of Truma. Here, in the Parsha, we deal not with Machtes HaShekel, but with the general Nidvas HaMishkan. In Kisisa, it's the Machtes HaShekel, even though Rashi brings over there that there were three times Truma mentioned in that Pasuk, which includes also the Trumas to the Trumas to the Mishkan, the other Trumas. And the third Sefer is the Kriya Rosh Chodesh. The Echad Ba'adov, not only is it a day that commemorates the shkolim that were brought for the purpose of the karbonis, but the Gemara adds another significance to the shkolim that were being collected by Echad Ba'adar. Amar HaShlokish, the Gemara says in Megillah, Goli v'yadu alef nemisho amar v'hoya ha'olam she'osid hoya homom Lishkol aseres alofim shiklei kesef lachashverish. The Rabbi Lishlalem knew that there will be this Haman that will come and, so to speak, bribe Achashverish with aseres alofim kikar kesef, with ishkolim eshkol adyidei oskim hamlocha, it says in the Megillah. So Haman used the power of shkolim to bring about the Gzeir on Klal Yisrael. Therefore, lefikach hikdim es shikleinu lishkolov. So our Ishkolim was on Purim and Adar, and we read Parsha Shkolim 2 weeks earlier. So therefore, the Gemara says beferish, our reading of Parsha Shkolim when at the arrival of Chodesh Adar has to do also with Purim. Not only does it have to do with the mitzvah of Machtes HaShekel for the purpose of Korbanos, but it has to do with the Nes of Purim. The Gemara connects these two together. And you can very well be meramez this in a medrash that says al kisisas rosh bnei Yisrael of kudeihem, which is the lining of Parshas Shkolim. Kisisa es rosh, raise the heads of the bnei Yisrael, Hashem said to Moshe. So the medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, by collecting the Shkolim and by our reading of the Shkolim, Moshe Rabbeinu is zokef rosh Hashem Yisrael. As if to say, a person is in a bent position, a person is in a downtrodden position, and somebody comes and stands him up upright, somebody comes and straightens out his posture and makes him look strong and respectable, whereas earlier he had appeared to be completely vanquished and overpowered. So Kisisa es rosh, what's the connection with Kisisa es rosh? That Gemara helps us understand it, because the purpose of Haman's Gzeira was the opposite of Kisisa es rosh. Yesh no am echod, mfuzer mforod, beinu amim, etc., etc. And Yikosev al ha-melech la'abdom, baseras alofim kika kesef eshko. So the purpose of his aseras alofim kika kesef was to annihilate the Klal Yisrael. Comes our Shkolim, Kisisa es rosh bnei Yisrael. B'na bochu. So the Kisisa es rosh bnei Yisrael has that implication, has that remez. B'na bochu. It's not because of La'abdom, but Kisisa es rosh. So the Kli of Parshas Shkolim also is meramez on this idea that our Shkolim against the Shkolim of Haman is Haram as Kamam Shel Yisrael. The simple connection between Parshas Shkolim, as I mentioned earlier, to the Parshas Terumah, is the Mishkan. Vosuli Mikdosh V'Shachanti B'Socham. And the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBchira that the purpose of the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdosh was a house in which to be makhav kabonis takonish bochu. And the machzis hashekel came for the purpose of hakrovas hakabonis. There's another connection between Chodesh Adar and Parshas Terumah. The Medrash brings a beautiful mashal on the inyan of a basali mikdash. A melech married off his daughter to a prince. When the prince was about to take his kala away, so the melech, the father of the kala, said, wait a moment, she's your wife, you have every right to take her away. But I can't separate myself from my beloved daughter. But on the other hand, she's your wife. So do me this favor. Wherever you live, wherever you go, make me a dira ktana, so that I should have a place to come and be with you, and visit with you. In the same way the Medrash says, the Rabbi Shalom gave the Torah to the Klal Yisrael, but the Rabbi Shalom and the Torah are inseparable. So make me a little mikdash, asuli dira ktana kdesha avo v'ador v'neichem. Asuli kiton echad, a small cubicle even, that I should come and have a deal with you. So the Mefarshim say that the word Ador, the Chushirim says, and other Svarim, the Chodesh Ador has an Aleph, and the Osi is Dar, Dira. The Aleph represents the Rabbi Nishalayim. And Ador means the Aleph has a Dira in us. That's the Mikdash. Also the Mikdash, that's the Alef Dar. The Alufo Shalolam, the Rabbeinu Shalolam, maintains a Dira in our environment. V'shachanti b'socham. How? The also the Mikdash. So there's another connection between Parshas Terumah and Chodesh Adar. Mentioned before the Mama Chazal, the Medrash, that when Bnei Yisrael read Parshas Shkolim, Kisiso as Rosh Bnei Yisrael of Kudayim, Moshe Rabbeinu Zokev Roshim Shem Yisrael. He takes them and makes them upright. That's a, and the Medrash learns it out from the words, Kisiso as Rosh, raise the heads. The Sfasemis has a beautiful idea here. Machtzis HaShekel. Shekel is b'gematria nefesh. That's a famous gematria. Shekel b'gematria nefesh. Machtzis HaShekel, because one half of our nefesh is inside us, the other half is in its source, in the Kisei HaKavod. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in his kasha Moshe, the Machtzis HaShekel, so the corresponding machtzis to our machtzis hashekel, the other half that makes up together with the machtzis hashekel an entire shekel, is tachas kisei hakavod. When a person is concentrated only in himself, he looks downward, looks inward. But when he tries to relate his own machtzis hashekel, the nefesh that's in himself, to the nefesh that's tachas kisei hakavod, and he looks upward. So that's what the medrash means to say. Kisiso es rosh. In other words, look upward, not downward. Look upward. In the payut it says, v'shekel eso v'vayis nachon v'viso. It's your machtzis hashekel with the machtzis hashekel that's this in the kisei hakavod, which is the source of all the neshamas of the Bnei Yisrael, together make up an entire shekel, the entire nefesh. Our souls have their corresponding other halves in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's otzach haneshamas tachas kisei hakavod. So when we read machtzis, our machtzis hashekel, kisiso es rosh. So we turn upwards. Moshe Rabbeinu turns us straight up to aspire to relate to the Machtzis HaShekel, the Tachas Kisei HaKavod. Now, I'd like to discuss a little bit the Klei HaMishkan. We do it every year in Parshas Terumah. Of course, all the Mefarshim, starting from the Medrash himself, are medayik that whereas in the rest of the Kelim it says Va'asisa, but when it comes to the Aron, it says Va'asu. They will all make Yevo Hakol Yisasu B'Mishkan, B'Aron, because the Aron stands for Edus. For the Torah. And in the Aron is symbolic of the Hashavos Hashkin and Klal Yisrael, because in the Kaporos, the cover of the Aron, it says, Beferes Shefumish, the Nawarati Alech Hashem, the Debarti Yitzko, the Ala Kaporos. Now, even if there were no Mishkan, it would be necessary to make an Aron. Why? Because where would the luchos be kept? The luchos were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Right? We're reading Parshas Terumah after Yisro Mishpatim, after the giving of the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to spend 40 days and 40 nights, right? By the time he comes down, he's going to be an ego. But the luchos were already given to him. Where will those luchos be kept? We need an oven for it. Araya Brura, because it says Beferish and Parshas Ekev and Sefer Devarim, Va'isahi Omer Hashem Alay, Asay Lucha Aron Eitz, because when he came down with the second Luchos, right, and the Mishkan was not yet built, he had to make a temporary Aron to keep those Luchos, and Rashi says, though, Beferish there. So there was an Aron that had to be made aside from the Mishkan. Of course, the Aron here found its place in the Mishkan, but the Aron has a mokum in the Klal Yisrael aside from the Mishkan, which is a remez that the Torah survives even Churban Beis Hamikdash. Leilo Mishio, how do we say it in these slichas of Ne'ila, Rir HaKodesh V'Amchuzos, Hoyu L'Cherpa U'Levizos, V'Chol Machmadeo, Tvuos, do we say it? No, not here, Ne'ila? Yeah. I always get worried. V'Chol Machmadeo, Tvuos, V'Gluzos, V'Einlo Mishio, HaKatov Azos. So the Python says beforeish something which we all know anyway. That even though, despite Churban Beis Hamikdash, but the Torah is, that's the shiur, that's the shirayim that's left, right? So the fact that the Torah has to have a container for it. So the Aron and the Luchos are inseparable. And even if there's no Mishkan, you have to have an Aron. Incidentally, the Aron existed only in the days of Bayis Rishon. And the Bayis Sheni, along with other things like the Urim V'Tumim and the Tzinteres Hamon and the Shemen HaMishra, the Gemara says, in the days of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, they were all hidden. The second Beis HaMikdash did not have an Aron. And there's an interesting Maral here in the Gur Aryeh that answers a kasha that Rashi asks based upon this Gemara. This is incidental to what I was talking about before, that the Aron represents the Torah that survives the Beis HaMikdash. But actually, the Aron itself did not exist, not even in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rashi is bothered by a repetition. It says, before the Kapogas, it says, in Pasuk, Tez Zayin, V'nasato al Aron Eis Ha'edus HaShaketin Elah. And then, after the psukim vasisa kapora zav tov, it says in pasuk chav aleph in asakos sa kapora sa ba'oron melmola vel ha'oron titein es ha'edus asher atin elecha. So it says twice here that to put the edus in the oron. Why does it have to say twice? So Rashi has a whole teretz about this. The Maral gives a beautiful pshat. A beautiful pshat. After all, he says, when the luchos were nignas, it was the luchos. Why did the Aron have to perish? The luchos perished. Teretz says, if there's no luchos, there's no Aron. But that's only because you have two psukim, shino levakos and lakim. And he brings a raya. Because the Urim V'Tumim also did not exist in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash. Right? Even though it says, where was the Urim V'Tumim placed? We read it in today's parashah, next week's parashah, in the Choshen. When the Sato Ela Choshen, as the Urim V'Tumim. And it was part of the Big Day Corner. And the Kohen Gadol wore the Urim V'Tumim on the Choshen. The Urim V'Tumim disappeared during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, but the Choshen still existed. All the Big Day Corner were there during the second Beis HaMikdash. So you see that even though it says v'nasato el ha'choshen es ha'ogam v'satomim, but nevertheless it wasn't ma'akev in the choshen. You could have a choshen without the yogam v'tumim. And they had all the big day kahuna even in the second Beis HaMikdash. So if the ogam v'tumim disappeared, but the choshen didn't disappear. And Cain, so let the luchos disappear. Why does the oven have to disappear? Elamai, the oven, the luchos are ma'akev in the oven. If there's no luchos, there's no oven. That's why it says twice. Well, like we find many times in Kodshim, Shino Vakos of Lakev, Venasato El Ha'Ogon Esra'edus. If there's no Edus, then the Ogon has no din anymore to be in the bed. An empty Ogon they didn't have. That's the point. If the luchos were nicholas, the Aron was nicholas. An empty Aron didn't exist. Edus, right. Now, the Aron that contains the Luchos, the container to the Torah. What does that symbolize? So there's a Beferesh Gemara, I think, even though the Gemara doesn't discuss the Aron in this sense. The Gemara Shabbos says, on the Pasuk, V'hoya emuna sitecha chosen Yeshua was chachmas v'daras, six words representing Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Yiras Hashem Yotzoro. So the Yiras Hashemayim has to be an Otzer to contain, which brings out the idea that without Yiras Hashemayim, the Torah cannot be held and contained. If you have Torah without Yiras Hashemayim, it's like you have something, a treasure, without any container for it. There's no setting. It cannot, it can't exist. It has to have a container. So if we look at Yiras Hashemayim as the container for the Torah, so the Aron therefore represents Yiras Hashemayim. The Luchos represent the Torah, and the Aron represents the Yira in which the Torah is held. Now, if this symbolism is correct, we can understand also the meaning of the Kaporas. Because you put the Aron in the, you put the Luchos in the Aron, and then you covered it by the Kaporas. What's the Kaporas? The Kaporas is a higher form of Yira. The Mesillas Yesharim says there are two kinds of Yira. Yiras HaOnesh and Yiras HaRomimus. Yiras HaOnesh is the basic, elementary Yira. Person should be a Yirei Shemayim if he knows otherwise, you know, he has to fear, has to have the fear of being punished. But Yiras HaRomimus is a higher form of Yira, not the Yira of Onshin, but having awe of Hashem. That is a higher Madrega. So the there are two forms of Yira. One, the basic Yira is the container for the Torah. Then on top of that, you place the Kaporet, and that's where the Hashros Hashchina is. That's why the Pasuk says, El Selekim Yirom is Mosfos Kizeh Kol HaOdam. That's where the Hashros Hashchina is. So the Aron and the Kaporet both surround the Torah. One is the container, the other is the cover. One is the Yira that precedes the Torah, one is the Yira to which the Torah leads, the ultimate relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, which is the Yira Saromus. We come to the Shulchan. Rav Shamshon for this says in his Pirush, that the shulchan of table is used sometimes as a place to work, but not this shulchan. This shulchan is not a workbench, but is a shulchan aruch comparable to a table where you eat, not where you work. Because we know that this shulchan was there for the purpose of Lechem Aponim. The Lechem Aponim represented the material blessings which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Klal Yisrael, and which were symbolized by the Lechem Aponim Lefonai Tamid. So this Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem was a Shulchan which contained the nourishment of the Klal Yisrael. And he says another vote. The Lechem Aponim was with bread, but every Shabbos when the Lechem Aponim was taken off and eaten by the Kahanim, there was something else that was on the Shulchan alongside of the Lechem Aponim. That was the Levona. Bread is nourishment, but Levona is incense. He says, you must have nourishment, but it's a special bracha if it's given with a pleasant, comfortable aroma. He says, it's good to have to be sustained, but comfort, hanor, is an additional bracha, is an additional element to enable one to enjoy the lechem. So the lechem represents nourishment, and the levona represents the comfort of the nourishment. So this is, of course, the Rabbeinu Shlomo's shulchan, upon which is placed the lechem, and it's a shulchan lefnei Hashem, like the mezbeach is lefnei Hashem. Ze'ashulchan Hashalachei Hashem, and this lechem, they used to be makrib every Shabbos and put new lechem on. Why on Shabbos? All week long, the lechem laid on the table, nothing was done to it. And the Gemara says, of course, it was a nice, they used to show that the lechem was as fresh on the day that it was, that it stayed a whole week on the shulchan. Why on Shabbos? Was Shabbos the source of bracha for the entire week? So even though the month didn't fall on Shabbos, but we know that the Shabbos is the source of bracha for all the 6 days subsequent to the Shabbos. The Rachaim stresses this a number of times in his Pirush on Kumish. He brings a Zohar, Mahi Yomim is Bochim and they call it Shito Yomim. So Shabbos is the bracha for the following 6 days. So the nourishment of the Klal Yisrael, as symbolized by the Lechem Aponim, took place on Yedei Kach, that they were Machkev the Levona on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, and the Kahanim then took off the Lechem and put new Lechem on, and they enjoyed and they ate the Lechem which was taken off. So the Shulchan represents Ashirus, comfort, material blessings, and Rashi says the word Ashir, Malchus. If you examine the Rashi on the Pasuk Chav Dalet, actually, Rashi says, "Vitzipisa also Zohav Tor." It's a symbol of Keser Malchus. Where's Rashi? Shashulchan Shom Osher Gdula. So the Osher Gdula, we understand. Why did Rashi add the word Malchus? It's taken from a Gemara. It's taken from a Gemara. The Gemara says that there was a Zeir on three kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron had Zeir. Zeir means a rim, a golden rim. We read earlier that the Aron was his, where is it? Was his Olam. Zeir, the Aron, it says, where is it? Yes. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vasisa Olam Zer Zohav Saviv, a golden rim, by the Shulchan it says there, and later on by the Mizbeach that also stood in the Heichal in Parshat Tzaveh, not in the outside Mizbeach, but in the Mizbeach Apnimi, it says also the word, they also had a rim. So the Gemara in the Yoma says that these three places where it says the Aron, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach Zer, represent three crowns that the Klal Yisrael has. Malchus, Kahuna, and Torah. So, Malchus, Zocha David, V'notlo. That's the Zer on the Shulchan. That's why Rashi says Malchus. Mizbeach is the Kesa Kahuna. Zocha Aram, V'notlo. And the Oron, open. Kala Rotsa Lito, Yavo V'yito. So the Kesar Malchus was taken by David HaMelech and his descendants. The Kesar Kehuna by Aaron and his descendants. That's the Avodah and the Mizbeach. And the Kesar Torah is left open for everybody. So that's why Rashi says here in Pasuk Chav Dalet, in connection with the Zeir on the Shulchan, Simen hi leKesar Malchus. Taken from that Gemara. Shashulchan Shom Osher Gdula. Now, and as I said before, we'll go be kids here. The purpose of the Shulchan was Lechem Ponim Lefonai Samim. The Mishnah says in Avos that from this Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem we draw Dvar Musa, Shlosh Sheochlu Al Shulchan Echad, Ba'amru Al of Divra Torah, Kilo Ochlu Mishulchan Ushul Mokom. And the Baal Tanura says, and the Gemara says, this is not a Mishnah, I think. This is the Gemara. Bisman Shabbos Hamikdash Oyachayim is what on the mark of Korban who miskaper. Va'achshav Shulchan Shel Adam mechaper Olav. How is the Shulchan Shel Adam mechaper Olav? So the Mefarshim say because the Shulchan also represents besides your nourishment, Gemilas Chasadim, Hachnosas Orchem. So the Shulchan is not only made for you, but the Shulchan is made also for others. So in order to be the real Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem, it's not only your Shulchan, but the chesed that the Shulchan can do. Lechem, the Gemara says that if you welcome in a guest and you give him to eat, many Mamor Chazal to this effect, but you don't show him a haoras on him, better you didn't invite him in. He'd rather not come in than to be served food and feeling al tilchem es lechem ga'ayin. The pasuk says in Mishlei, don't eat with somebody who's a tzar ayin, who's stingy and isn't happy at the fact that he's giving you the food. So that's why the lechem has to have upon him. Has to have a ha'oras upon him. When a satu al shulchan, on the shulchan upon which you serve others, should be not only lechem, there should be upon him too. There should be a ha'oras upon him. There should be a friendly face. That's the remez here also in the pasuk. When a satu al shulchan, lechem upon him with one eye solid. Now we come to the menorah. The interesting thing, and Rav Shamsher Rafal here, of course, has so much on the menorah. The interesting thing about the menorah, in contrast to the Oron and the Shulchan, is that the Oron was made of Atzei Shittim and was coated Mibayis and Mechutz with gold. Same thing the Shulchan. The Shulchan was Ikro Shal Eitz. Vasisa Shulchan Atzei Shittim. The Aron also, but also Aron Atzei Shittim. But Tzipisa also, it says, but Tzipisa by the Aron, Tzipisa by the Shulchan, comes to the menorah. Vasisa menorah zohav tor. There was no eitz. And he understands the meaning of the eitz to be growth and development, because a tree that grows from the ground, it's an eitz. It's, and it has to be made pure, but it represents a certain growth, a certain sturdiness that can continue and develop. But the menorah, which represents the light of Torah, is purity in itself, and one can really add to this, because the menorah represents the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kineh Mitzvah Torah. The Ruach Hashem, as he himself, he brings the posik in the Haftorah, the Shabbos Chanukah, lo b'chav, lo b'koach, ki b'ruchi, and the Navi Schaya was told that the menorah represents Ruach Hashem. So all this is spiritual, coming down from above. It's not like a tree that grows from the earth. There's your answer. So the menorah represents the light, the chokhmah, the knowledge, the wisdom, the spirituality, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down, milamara lamata, didn't have any eights. Pure gold. The menorah did not have any eights. In this sense, the menorah was different from the previous two kelim. More. There was a mizbeach azov too, but not unlike the Oron and the Shulchan, which are eights, which represents the Torah that we study, and the Shulchan that has to feed us. The menorah is purely spiritual. Harotza Shayachim Yadrim. Harotza Shayashir, if you're looking for spiritual blessings, incline towards Dorom, because the menorah stood in the south of the Dorom. If you want to be mispal for material blessings, Ashirus, incline to the north, because the Shulchan stood at on the northern side of the Hechel. So, therefore, the menorah represents Ne'er Hashem Nishmas Adam, the Neshama, everything spiritual, the Torah, the Neshama, the Torah, all the Chochmah, the wisdom, that comes Me Hashem, that's not Eitz, that's not Gedulah Menorah, it's pure gold. His famous symbolism on the menorah, which in Zechariah is defined as Ruach Hashem, lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach ki b'ruchi. That's the menorah that Zechariah saw. That's the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah. So he points out to the Pasuk, he points to the Pasuk Yeshayah, that this Ruach Hashem, the Pasuk says about the Melech HaMashiach, Menocha Olam Ruach Hashem, Ruach Chochmo Bino, Ruach Eitzo Gruga, Ruach Taas V'Yiras Hashem. So the six stems of the menorah each represent Chochmo Bino, Taas Chochmo Bino, Eitzo Gruga, Taas V'Yiras Hashem. And he goes into a very lengthy exposition about the all the details of the menorah, the gviyim and the kaftorim and the prochim and everything, which is a long, long discussion, both in the Chorav, I think, but here in the Chumash. By the way, I want to tell you, Ramos, I saw in the Sefer at supper, while I was eating supper, I opened the Sefer, I saw a Davar Nifla. Listen to this. The menorah represents the Torah, right? Okay? So, the menorah had 22 gvim and 11 kaftorim and 9 kochim in the cheshbon. He himself discusses all this avsham shafolos. You know, there were gvim in the menorah, the cups, and the kaftorim, which looked like fruits, and the kochim, kaftoriferach, gvim. And it was 18 tefachim, 17 in the mashu, until the 18th tefach tov. Seven stems. The first pasuk of Bereishis, the Torah, the menorah represents the Torah. And a remez for that is because the Gemara says in Shabbos that there not only are there 5 svarim, but according to one demand the Omer, we can say that there are 7 svarim. Because Vahibim Soa is a sefer in itself, so sefer Bamidbar is divided into 3 svarim. So you have 7. 7 stems of the Shiva's Kani HaMenorah, 7 Sifrei Torah, okay? 7. Pasuk says, Pesach Tvarecha Yoer Mehim Soyim. The opening words of the Torah have a special inyan of Oh, Pesach Tvarecha, your ear, they light, they illuminate. So, the first Pasuk in Bereishis has 7 words. Keneged, the 7 stems of the menorah. The first Pasuk in Shmos, Be'elah Shmos B'nei Yisrael Aboyim Mitzvayim Eis Yaakov Yishuv Eisel Bo'u, 11 words. 11 kaftorim. The first passing of Vayikra has 9 words. Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydabar Hashem Elav, Vayoel Moed. Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydabar Hashem Elav, Vayoel Moed Lema. 9 words. 9 brachim. There were 11 kaftorim and 9 brachim. Do you have a remez for the 11? Rambis for the 7 stems, for the 11 kaftorim, for the 9 prochim. The first pasuk of Bamidbar has 17 words. Walter isn't here. Sydney is maybe. I think it's 17 words. The first pasuk of Bamidbar has 17 words. That's a Rambis to the height of the menorah, which was 17 in the mashu tefachim. And the first pasuk in Sefer Dvarim has 22 words, 22 gvim. There were 22 gvim. So every first pasuk in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah has remez in the menorah. 22 psukim, 22 words in the first pasuk of Sefer Dvarim. Ela Dvarim Hashidim Moshe, etc. And 17 in Bamidbar, and 9 in Vayikra, and 11 in Shmos, and 7 in Bereishis. I just saw this at supper. Amazing. Amazing. And the Likud that I have is an old Likud. It doesn't even bring to whose world this is. Anyway, Let us talk a little bit about Obama. The menorah had six stems. I thought of an idea of a Rebbe's in all this, and which we can understand a little bit, not the amount, not the number, but the concept, the symbolism of the Gvim and the Kaftorim and the Koch. The Gemara says in Chagigah that even though you find in the Torah, and the Gemara uses the following language, right at the beginning of Masechta Chagigah, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the drosha that he held it on his Shabbos, Avapi, Bali Asupos, the Gemara Dasha, the Pesach, at the end of Kehelas, Divri Chacham Kadavonos, Bali Asupos, even though you find in the Torah Shabbal Peh, Halolu Metamin, Vahalolu Metaharim, Halolu Osrin, Vahalolu Matirin, Halolu Postlin, Vahalolu Machirin, Ya Machlokisin, these say Tomei, these say Torah, these say Kosher, these say Postl, these say Osr, these say Mutar. Nevertheless, Kula Mitnu Meroa Echot. So the Gemara mentions six examples, three and three, of Machlokis. Right? So here's, but nevertheless, they all Kula Mitnu Meroa Echot. It all comes from the same Torah, from the same Rabbeinu Shlomo, but there can be differing viewpoints in Halacha, as we find all over Shas. Different viewpoints. These are Osa, these are Matir, these are Matami, these are Matar, these are Pasal, these are Pasal, and these are Machir. So the Gemara chooses three sets, six Lashonos. There you have it in the menorah. Shesh Akonim. You have one double stem, another double stem, a third double stem. These to the right, these to the left. But the Mulpnei menorah is, of course, symbolizes the Roa Echad, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, all coming from the same central shaft, which was the menorah. Now, in other words, as the Mephoshim say, the menorah represents, as the Gemara says, Chochmas HaTorah. In Chochmas HaTorah, you have Metamim and Metarim. You have all kinds of Oslo and Machirim, Oslo and Matirim. And that's why you have the Gvim and the Kaftorim and the Prochim. Several places in Medrash, when one of the Chachmei HaTalmud said a good svara, the other one reacted, Kaftor v'Perach. Kaftor is a fruit, Perach is a flower, which means that it's really something, right? So in order, that's the mental acumen of Chachmas HaTorah. So in order for, how does Chochmas HaTorah show itself? In, first of all, in Mishnah and in Gemara. Mishnah is the basic body of knowledge. Gemara is the pilpul, is the Kshatla Vataria. So you have to have first the basic knowledge, which one generation receives from the previous generation. And upon that, you can proceed to build, to grow fruits and flowers. Those are the kviyim, the cups. The cups are the receptacle, the kelim, in the menorah that received their chokhmah from the previous dor. And you have to have a lot more kviyim than kaftorim and chokhmah. The kaftorim and chokhmah can be compared to the Gemara. The kviyim are compared to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is the body of law which the Torah Shebaal Peh transmits from one generation to the next. The basic halachas. But all the shailas and machlokes and svaras and rayas and kashas and terutzim, those are the kaftorim of Chochem. Kaftorim of Ferach. That's kaftorim of Ferach. Those are the little fruits, the little flowers that come to embellish. But basically, that's why you have 22 gvim, 22 gvim. A lot more than Kaftorim and Prochim. You know, there's a Gemara at the end of Horius, where the Gemara calls the Shaila, which is Odif, a Sinai or a Oker Horim? A Charif or a Baki, in other words. Which is better? Which is more? The Gemara comes out of Baki is more important than a Charif. Hakol Tzichel Gemara Dechita, the Gemara says. Because in the final analysis, you know, you have to resort to the person who's got the wheat in storage. So all the chalifas, but the okehogam, but you need the cash, you need the chitin. So a sinai is choshev more than an okehogam. The Gemara says. Gemara says Rabban Rav Yosef, one was a sinai, the other was an okehogam. So the gviyim can represent the bekiyus, the body of knowledge, the mishnah, the kafta leferach. This is the Gemara. This is the pilpul halacha. This is the shat levatayya. The kaftorah and the pchorah. Another interesting thing. I mentioned another word for the Sfasamas. Miksha tayasa hamnora. Very interesting. Miksha, it was made from one piece, and of course, and the stems and all the details had to be beaten out. Miksha stands for difficulty. It's kosher. And because it's hard, you have to beat at it. And Rashi says, even with all the beating, and even with all the making, it was sort of made by itself. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in knowing exactly, Niskasha Moshe B'Ma'as HaMenorah, it was Yotzo Me'olel. This represents the idea that the Gemara always says about Yukata U'Motzoso. And the Mephoshim say, what does the Gemara mean? Yukata U'Motzoso Tamen. If one invests Yegiya, he toils in the Torah, he'll find it. Why Metziah? Metziah is something which you come upon by chance. You can walk through the streets of New York for a week and you won't find the Metziah. And somebody else will walk out the next day and happens to come upon a Metziah. A Metziah is something you find by Hesach Hadas. You can't. But if you're Yogeya, then B'schazer or Boshem will give you a Metziah. Sometimes the person works and works and works and doesn't see any fruits to his labor. And then suddenly, out of the clear blue, he finds a Metziah. The same thing is in learning Torah. Yogata, then U'Motzoso. Miksha, even though it may be difficult in the beginning, Tayosa. Amanova. Miksha, it's difficult, it's hard, it's Yogata. But it's Tayosa. It'll come B'dach Metziah. That's the schar which the Rabbeinu Shalom gives to the to toiling in the Torah. That's why the Pasuk says here, Miksha Tayosa Amnor. Finally, just one last word on the Mishkan itself. After the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah, so the Pasuk describes the house in which all this was kept, and which is the Heichal. In the Beis HaMikdash, what was called here was HaMishkan Tasa Esa Yerios, so the Koshim which were covered over by the Yerios, that was here that was the Mishkan, because the Torah, the Klei HaMishkan, have to have a home. And that is represented by the Mishkan itself. And there was a Chatzara Mishkan, which was, of course, the Azorah in the Beis HaMikdash. I always mention the Kashya, which the Ramban asks, and we'll leave it with a Kashya, because the Teretz is given in the next week's parasha, in the Ramban. In the Caleb that stood in the Heichal, there were really three. The Shulchan and the Menorah, what else? The Mizbeach. And in this week's parasha, the Mizbeach is left out. The outer Mizbeach is mentioned, in the Chotzer, the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But the Mizbeach HaKtores, which stood in the Heichal along with the Shulchan of the Menorah, is not mentioned here at all. It's at the end of the Tzava. So we'll leave the Kasha hanging. A good Shabbos. Next week in Yirta Shema, hopefully, which is Pasha Zohar next week. So we'll talk a little bit about Yoni Purim and Gilas Esther. Now, discuss this kasha also. A good chance. Sure.